Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Another welcome from me. My name is Kelly. I'm one of the pastors here as well. And I really feel like, you know, I've been leading worship at the Bridge for a while, and those videos are just the best thing I've ever seen. I think we need to start doing those in big people church more. Well, we're continuing our series this week on Unlikely Hero, which is about the life of David. And today we are going to be talking about David and Saul and telling some of that story. And I think we might have someone joining us.
That will show him not to mess with me anymore. He'll learn not to touch my food ever again.
Wow. Good morning, chef. Are you okay? Ooh. You're kind of interrupting us right now.
Oh, hey, Sister Kelly. I was putting the finished touches on my master revenge plan. Last weekend, one of the cooks at my baking competition put salt in my sugar container, and my cake turned out salty and not sweet. Now I've developed a master plan to get him back at this week's competition.
Wow, chef. Well, I'm so sorry that he ruined your cake on purpose. I bet you put a lot of time into preparing that cake. Can I ask what your master plan is?
Well, Sister Kelly, this week we're going to a competition to see who can cook the most creative fish dinner. Right before we start the competition, I will replace his very sharp knives with knives that don't work. Not only will he not be able to cook, but everyone will think he has bad knives. He never, ever learned to mess with my food again.
Well, you know, I'm sure it was really hurtful and probably a little embarrassing last week when your cake was salty and you lost the competition. But can you tell me how taking revenge on this other chef will help you?
Well, Sister Kelly, it make me feel so much better. I mean, it's only fair. If he ruins my dish, he deserves to have his dish ruined too. He embarrassed me. And now he deserves to be embarrassed as well.
Well, I know it seems like taking out revenge on someone that attacks us is the best thing to do, but did you know that God has an even better plan for that? This morning we're going to be talking about our friend David and how he had the opportunity to take revenge against his enemy Saul, but he chose not to. David understood that even though taking revenge would feel good in the moment, it's not something that honors the Lord.
Well, but if you don't take revenge on people who hurt you, then who will teach them not to hurt other people? Isn't it only fair that our enemies are punished when they hurt us?
Well, you know, those are some really great questions. So why don't you stick around to hear our story today? And I think that the Bible can help answer some of those questions for you.
Well, okay, Sister Kelly. I'll stay and hear about what David did and see if I can learn anything from this situation.
Okay, and you know what? Let's get together for a coffee this week, and you can tell me what you thought of the story today, and then I can answer any questions that you might still have.
Oh, that would be great. Thanks, Sister Kelly. I'm going to go find my seat now, okay?
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Everyone say bye, Chef.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, we love Chef. Liliana gave a very spirited goodbye to Chef this morning. Well, we are, oh, the light's over here, isn't it? See where the light is. Okay, that's what we're doing. So to start our story this morning, right away, I need four kids that are going to help me tell the Bible story today. So four kids, raise your hand if you'd like to be one of the four kids to help us tell the Bible story. Don't all run up here at once, guys. Anyone, really. Four volunteers. Someone's going to get a balloon sword out of this. Good. Jeremiah, good. Okay, you come. You come too. Only room for one more. Limited time offer. Luke, yes. Okay, woo. Okay, thank you, kids. Good. You guys are lifesavers. Okay, well, today we're going to be telling the story of David and Saul. So Let's see. I think, Luke, you want to be David? And you're going to be David's friend, Abishai. And you're going to be King Saul, because this is an equal opportunity church. And you, Prince Saul. Queen Saul, well, okay, well, we can't mess with the scripture too much. And you're going to be Abner, Saul's servant. How does that work? Whatever, he said. Okay, so. All right, so we're going to get into our story today. We're going to be in 1 Samuel. All right, we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 26. And you guys are going to have some speaking parts, but I'm going to tell you what to say, okay? Okay, so you're David, is that right? And you're Abishai. Can you say that? It's a hard word. Okay, so let's start over here. Okay, so it says in the Bible that David set out and came to the place where Saul had set up camp. So let's sneak over to the tent over here. And he saw himself where Saul and Abner were staying. Saul was safely inside the camp, encircled by the army. Taking charge, David spoke to Abishai and said,
"Who will go down with me?
Who will go down with me?
And enter Saul's camp.
And enter Saul's camp."
And Abishai whispered,
"I'll go with you."
Yeah. So David and Abishai entered the encampment by night. Let's sneak over. And there was Saul, stretched out, asleep at the center of the camp, his spear stuck in the ground near his head. So pretend the balloon's stuck in the ground. And Abner was asleep. And Abishai said, "Come here, Abishai." Abishai said,
"This is the moment.
This is the moment.
God has put your enemy here.
God has put your enemy
in your grasp.
In your grasp.
Now say, let me nail him to the ground.
What?
Let me nail him to the ground.
Let me nail him to the ground.
With his spear.
With his spear."
This is a violent story.
"One hit will do it."
So Abishai is like, "This is our chance, David. This is our chance." But David said to Abishai,
"Don't you dare hurt him.
Don't you dare hurt him.
Who could lay a hand on God's anointed?
Who could lay a hand on God's anointed?
And even think of getting away with it.
And even think of getting away with it."
So David went on, I'll say this part. "As God lives, either God will strike him or his time will come and he'll die in bed or he'll fall in battle. But God forbid that I should lay a finger on God's anointed." You say this part.
Say, "Now grab the spear at his head."
Grab the spear at his head.
"And the water jug."
And the water jug.
"And let's get out of here."
And let's get out of here.
So Abishai snuck into Saul's tent and he took the spear and the water jug.
So go steal the sword and the water jug.
Really carefully so you don't wake them up, because they're sleeping. Take the sword and the water jug. Saul had some bubbly water. And they snuck away. Come on, sneak away. Really quietly so they don't wake up. Not a soul knew, and no one woke up. All the way over here. They slept through the whole thing, and a blanket of deep sleep from God had fallen on them. So we see in the first part of the story that David had this awesome opportunity. You guys can like stick your heads out of the tent so we can see that you're in there. But you're still asleep. You guys are really good at this. So the first thing we see in this story is that David had the opportunity to take revenge on Saul. And if you know the story and if you've been here the other weeks, you know that Saul was trying to kill David. David hadn't done anything wrong and Saul was constantly trying to kill David, okay? So David has this golden opportunity here, and Abishai even said, "God has created this opportunity for you. God made him sleep." They're snoring now. This is so realistic. "God has made them sleep, and you can just kill him." And Abishai says, "I'll have it done in a second. He won't even have a chance to retaliate." But David trusted that God would take care of Saul when the time was right. So continuing on, are we continuing on? We're going to continue on. "Then David went across to the opposite hill and stood far away on the top of the mountain." They're climbing the mountain. It's a really steep one. It's so steep. There we go. They're on top of the mountain. And with the safe distance between them, he shouted across to Abner. And then Abner woke up. Abner, now you've woken up and you're, oh, it's been a long night. And he yells back, And then David says again, really sassy, say, aren't you in charge there?
Are you in charge there?
Why aren't you paying attention?
Why aren't you paying attention?
Why aren't you guarding the king?
Why aren't you guarding the king?
And he goes on to say, as God lives, your life should be forfeit, you and the entire bodyguard.
Look what I have. The king's spear and water jug that were right beside his head.
So Abner's in trouble, isn't he? The king's guard is there, and Saul's awake now. So it says, by now, Saul had recognized David's voice. You guys can come over here.
Is that you, David?
And David said, you're going to have to yell. Say, yes, it's me.
Yes, it's me.
Say, why are you hunting me?
Why are you hunting me?
What have I done?
What have I done?
And so then David goes on to say, if God has stirred you up against me, I will offer my life as a sacrifice. But if it's men who have done it, let them be banished from God's presence. And he goes on to say, you cannot separate me from God in life or death. The absurdity of a king of Israel obsessed with a single flea hunting me down, a mere partridge out in the hills. And Saul says, I've sinned.
I've sinned.
Oh, come back, David.
Oh, come back, David.
I won't hurt you anymore.
I won't hurt you anymore.
You have honored me this day.
You have honored me this day.
You treated my life as precious.
You treated my life as precious.
And I acted like a fool.
And I acted like a fool.
And then David answered, see what I have here? It's the king's spear. Oh, what a good servant Abishai is. And he says, so give it to Abishai, and Abishai is going to take it back over to him. So David gives his Saul back, or gives his gives the spear back to Saul. So take it back over to Saul. Lindsay might need to help you. Yeah, climb down the mountain, take it back to Saul. And David says, it's God's business to decide what to do with each of us in regard to what's right and who's loyal. God put your life in my hands today, but I wasn't willing to lift a finger against God's anointed. Just as I honored your life today, may God honor my life and rescue me from all trouble. And Saul said to David,
bless you, David.
Yes, do what you have to do.
Yes, do what you have to do.
And succeed in all you attempt.
And succeed in with all you have intent.
Good. And then David went on his way and Saul went home with his spear. And then they parted ways. Good job, guys. Yeah. Thanks a lot for volunteering. So David trusted God to let God take revenge. And what happened? Saul ended up apologizing to David. And David actually trusted God so much that he gave Saul's spear back to him, the same spear that Saul had tried to kill David with. So we see in that story that David honored Saul's life, even though Saul did not honor David's life. And this is a great story in the Old Testament, but this is a really important thing for us to illustrate, that this is still something that Jesus wants us to live our lives by. And Jesus talks a lot about loving our enemies. And I'm going to read you a verse of something that Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. I love this. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless. The good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. So I don't know about you guys, kids and adults, but this is one of the hardest concepts in the Bible for us to actually put into practice. The idea of loving someone who is our enemy, loving someone that has hurt us. And it's especially difficult in a situation like David and Saul, because Saul was anointed by God to be king. And he was still hurting David. So sometimes it's even harder when it's someone else in the body of Christ or someone else in the church, and we're dealing with this thing of loving someone who's hurt us. And it's easy to look at a story like David and Saul and say, okay, well, that's great. I know I should love my enemies. But let's talk about a few ways to really do that practically. What some things that the Bible says about how we can actually love people who have hurt us. So we're going to talk about four things. And the first thing the Bible tells us to do is to pray for them. And the verse we just read says, when someone gives you a hard time, respond with prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. And for me, sometimes that looks like me praying to God and asking God to bless that person, asking God to bless specific things in that person's life, asking God to help that person succeed in all they do. Just as Saul said at the end, he wished that David would succeed in all he did. So this is something where you can look at something in that person's life and you can actually pray that God will bless them, even though that's hard because in our hearts, we actually want God to punish them a lot of times. I might be alone in that. I'll admit it in front of all of you guys. But, you know, when I was in the U.S., I was traveling a lot a couple years ago, and I was driving on this country road one week, and this car passed me going really fast, and it was a really sporty car. It was like this really awesome, gorgeous car, and it just passed me, and I was just feeling like, oh, they just think they're so cool, driving so fast, and I was driving this big old truck thing, you know? And I was like, that's just not right. And then a few kilometers down the road, they were sitting on the side of the road with a police car behind them. And I was like, oh, Lord, you've heard my cry. You have shown me favor. But the funny thing is, sometimes I drove faster than what the speed limit was. And I always hoped for grace for myself. And a story like that reminds me that we always want grace for ourselves and judgment for other people. We want to be shown grace and mercy for the things that we do, but we want other people to have to suffer and receive punishment for the things that they do. Has anybody else ever felt like that? I think we all have. So the first thing we need to do for people that have hurt us is we need to pray for them. And the second thing we need to do is we need to say nice things about them and to them. A really awesome author named Brennan Manning says this. He says, to affirm a person is to see the good in them that they cannot see in themselves, and to repeat it in spite of appearances to the contrary. So that means that we say nice things to people, even if it doesn't seem like they're all that nice. And he goes on to say, when a person is evoked for who they are, not who they are not, the most often result will be the inner healing of their heart through the touch of affirmation. So what that means, if there were too many big words in there for you, is that when you say nice things to your friends, and even when you say nice things to your enemies, it makes their heart feel really good. And sometimes when people have a really hurt heart, they might hurt you too. But we have the power, we have the words of God inside of us, and we can say things to help people heal their hearts. So even when it's hard to do, we need to say nice things about people who have hurt us and say nice things to them also. The third thing we need to do for people who have hurt us is we need to do nice things for them. In Romans, Paul says, if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. We know that God can conquer evil, and we know that he is powerful enough to conquer evil, but we also know that he's given us hearts of love to help conquer evil in this world also. We can bring peace, and we can bring joy into people's lives by doing nice and good things for them. And maybe that's something small, like getting them something they need, or if they're hungry, buying them lunch. And maybe it's something big, but maybe God has put someone in your life that has hurt you or that isn't very nice to you, and God might show you something nice that you can do for them, even though that's really hard to do. It's hard for kids and it's hard for adults. Right, adults? Yeah. And the fourth thing we need to do for people that have hurt us is we need to forgive them. So I need three more volunteers, three more kids. And if the kids don't come, I'm going to pick the moms and dads. So moms and dads, you better start throwing your kids. Yeah, okay, oh, two Daniel's kids. Yeah, both of them. And Francis is raising his hand also. Zoe, do you want to come? Zoe, do you want to come? Yeah, she's going to come. Come on. Come on, Zoe. She's fixing her dress first. I totally understand. Okay, you stand here, and you stand right here in the middle. Okay, so there's a story in the Bible, and I'm going to make this kind of a story that we can tell for in today's terms. So Jesus tells a story where Ella, say, has an iPad, and it's brand new, and it has all of her favorite games on it. And Zoe says, can you say, can I use your iPad?
I come in the iPad.
She wants to use Ella's iPad. And Ella says,
sure, you can borrow it.
Sure, you can borrow it.
Okay, and then she gives her iPad to Zoe. And Zoe's playing games on it. And she accidentally drops it on the ground. Can you drop it on the ground? Throw it down. Oh! And the screen is shattered. And she picks it up. And she gives it back to Ella. And she says, I'm so sorry.
So sorry.
I broke it.
I broke it.
And Ella says, I need $500.
I need $500.
And Zoe says, I don't have that.
I don't have that.
Oh, man. And Ella says, that's okay, I forgive you.
That's okay, I forgive you.
And then Zoe's friend Jonah, here, hold this. Zoe's friend Jonah asks if he can borrow a pencil from Zoe. Give him the pencil. And then Jonah drops the pencil on the ground, and he breaks it. It just breaks. It's really cheap. And so he takes it back to Zoe, and he says, I'm so sorry I broke your pencil.
I'm so sorry I broke your pencil.
And Zoe says, what?
What?
I really needed that.
I really needed that.
Say, we can't be friends anymore.
So Zoe broke Ella's iPad, and Ella said, that's okay, I forgive you. And then Jonah broke Zoe's pencil, and she's like,
we can't be friends.
We can't be friends.
You broke my pencil.
Yeah, that was good. You guys can go sit down. Oh, man.
You can keep the pencil. Thank you. You can keep it. You want it?
Oh, thank you. So Jesus tells a story a lot like that, where there was a guy who was loaned a lot of money, and he couldn't pay it back, and the lender forgave him the debt. But then someone else had a really small debt against him. And in this story, we're a lot like Zoe, because we have sinned a lot. All of us have sinned a lot. Maybe we've sinned a lot today. And it's like Jesus has given us this awesome gift of grace and this beautiful, expensive thing of grace, and we keep dropping it over and over. We keep breaking the things that he's given us, and we keep sinning. And every time we do, we say, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry again. And every time Jesus says, that's okay. I forgive you and I love you. But sometimes when someone sins against us, it's something so tiny and so small. It's like Jonah breaking Zoe's pencil, and we can't forgive them. And we forget the grace that Jesus has shown each of us. Jesus tells us that we need to forgive others. And just like in the story, the Bible says that because we've been forgiven, we have to forgive others. And the hard thing about this is that even if they don't tell us that they're sorry, we still have to forgive them in our hearts. Because if you've ever lived in a situation of unforgiveness, you know that it hurts you a lot more than it hurts the other person. It's really poisonous to your heart. So even if they don't tell you that they're sorry, we still have to forgive them because Jesus has forgiven us. I am going to have the ushers prepare to serve communion today as we finish up. And so another way that the Bible shows us that we can remember that we've been forgiven of our sins is by taking communion together. And just like David didn't give Saul what Saul deserved, Jesus doesn't give us what our sins deserve. He loves us so much that he shows us grace instead of punishment. And when we follow Jesus and we ask him to, he removes all of our sins. So when we take communion, it's a way for us to remember together what Jesus did for us. And so as the ushers prepare to distribute communion, parents, we want you to know today that it's up to you to decide whether or not your kids are ready to receive communion with us. And we're going to give you just a moment to talk to your kids if you want and explain what communion is to them as the ushers distribute the communion. So if you want to take a moment with your kids and talk with them about what communion means and whether or not they're ready. And if you don't have kids here, and even after you're done talking to your children, one thing we always want to do when we take communion is we want to take a moment and pray and ask Jesus to show us anything in our hearts that is sinful and ask him to forgive us.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.